it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
But I'm really happy that Matt George is here with us. Matt
hey.
George, ABC 10 and the great Locked On Kings podcast. Matt, we got all the ups and downs last night in Phoenix. Your overall feelings about the way the game went last night?
Before I start with that, I wanted to make sure to say Jesse Tapia is the funniest member of this show and one of the funniest guys in Sacramento. Jesse Agreed. Almost made me crash my car this afternoon when I was driving in and someone was talking about, oh, you know, Damien, you were talking about Portland canceling media availability. And Jesse just said, why? What happened? Oh, I almost drove off the road.
Jesse's deadpan sense of humor is the funniest.
It's the
thing.
Delivery. It's the delivery for me. Jesse, never change who you are, my friend. Well, if you missed my video of me screaming into a pillow last night, that's about how it what sums up the emotions from that.
I hope
first
it has
game.
To do with the Kings.
Oh, we're talking to the Kings? Oh, I was talking about my relationship. Oh, I just got it.
Oh, well, you didn't help yourself with that line, but so you were screaming into a pillow, man. I wish this show would grow up. For God's sakes, I wish this show would grow up.
Ooh, how do we save this? Where do we go from here?
I missed that video, Matt.
Yeah, well,
thank God.
There's a website. There's some age restrictions. Yeah. Maybe you can find it. I just wish I could just focus on that first half and like Doug Christie could bottle up that first half. And it made me think of a line that Doug shared in training camp. And he said, like, he told the guys at one point, like, y'all messed up because you showed me that you could do it. Mm. And now that you've showed me that you could do it, now we're going to demand more. Like, we're going to demand it because you showed me. That was during training camp. Now the Kings have messed up because they showed their entire fan base, hey, we can do it for a half. But the second half was just, unfortunately, like the wheels fell off and the Kings took their foot off the gas, whatever analogy you want to use. Sacramento completely fell apart. And I understand basketball is a game of runs and a 20-point lead isn't what it used to be. De'Aaron Fox used to say that all the time in Sacramento, and I didn't like it then either. And I understand Domantas Sabonis and Keegan Murray were out. Well, we've seen those two play and the Kings blow leads like this over the last handful of years. Yep. It's just all too familiar, regardless of whatever excuse or circumstance. It's the first game. Russ hadn't played before, blah, 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 blah. It you shouldn't blow a 20-point lead in a game that you were that firmly in control. And I know Doug Christie after the game talks about defense. That's his MO. That's what he is all about. But the Sacramento Kings could barely score the basketball in the second half. That to me is what's concerning. I mean, the Suns scored over 60 points in the second half. Look, that you want that number to be under 60, of course, but I still felt the defense at times was fine. It was okay. It was more than enough for a team that's supposed to be as good on offense as the Sacramento Kings are to win the basketball game. They just went cold at the wrong time. Zach LaVine went from red hot to chucking bricks. DeMar DeRozan got woken up by Dylan Brooks a little bit, but he couldn't hit a free throw. So it's not all blame on one person, two people, or 10 people. Like, everybody has to wear a certain element of that game. But unfortunately for Kings fans, it's an all too familiar scene that a coaching change and a front office change and some slight roster changes shockingly didn't get rid of.
Mm-hmm. Matt, what's your take on, or your thought process
on the Keon Ellis situation. We had a lot of dialogue about that today, about the 12 minutes he played compared to 18 for Westbrook, 27 for Monk, 23 for Nate Clifford. What's your thoughts on Keon last night and potentially going forward?
Yeah, I heard your guys' conversation about this earlier. I thought it was a fantastic conversation. I was looking forward to adding to it. Guys, I'm under a pretty significant impression that the belief amongst the Sacramento Kings organization is that Keon Ellis is more replaceable than people are making him out to be. And I think there is this belief in Sacramento, and history would suggest, that Kings fans fall in love with a player or two based off of the hustle and the way that they play. Typically, they're young players with these kind of underdog stories that the Kings and Kings fan base latch onto. And while I'm not bringing that up in any kind of way to undermine who Keon Ellis is as a basketball player, like, I think I have a pretty, again, pretty good understanding that the Kings believe that if they were to lose Keon in free agency, they can find a replacement for him. There are players like Keon Ellis out there. And I think what's unfortunate is, if Keon Ellis were 6'7", 6'8", we wouldn't be having that conversation. And they would have paid him already, because those are the type of players that every single team wants. But every team could use a Keon Ellis. I don't know why Keon wasn't in the game. I think he should have been in the game. But I think this is a further reflection of truly how this organization views Keon. And I mean, I know you guys were joking earlier about, is it Vivek Ranadive? Is it ownership calling in saying, don't play the guy? Like, I can tell you firsthand, going back to last year, that Mike Brown was the one to initially make the decision to have Keon play in the first place and give Keon opportunity over some of the guys on two-way contracts and playing in Stockton that higher-ups would have preferred play over Keon at the time. I'm not using that to defend Mike Brown at all, because, of course, he made mistakes, but this has been happening. This has been around Keon for a while, for a couple of seasons here in Sacramento, which is why, even with the coaching change and Doug Christie, even with the front office change and Scott Perry, Keon seems to be, in a short sample size, just one game this season, getting similar treatment, to where if someone's going to sacrifice their minutes, it seems like it's going to be Keon.
That was interesting. Do you agree with the Kings? Is Keon Ellis easily replaceable?
No, I don't. Because I think Keon.
So you know what? Actually, that was a stupid follow up question. Let me try. let me try this differently. Because you said that you believe there's people in the organization who feel this way. This is the second front office group and the second coaching staff. Is this a prevailing thought that's running through multiple coaching staffs and multiple front offices?
Yes. I don't think this is the same people here have the same opinion. I think that opinion is shared or has been adapted by newer people here. And I understand that to be the case based off of the decision to pick up Keon Ellis's option early in the offseason. We could talk about financially, it gave them more flexibility to give Dennis Schroeder money or whatever. If Keon Ellis were a priority, as much as we believe he should be a priority, then they would have gotten something done then, just like they got something done with Keegan at $140 million total over 5 years. They got that done even with Keegan out, because Keegan is a priority. I just don't think Keon is viewed as much of a priority as the fan base believes he should be or is. And I think that's the whole point. Again, I think the organization feels that Keon is a popular figure and loved by the fans because of the way that he plays. But if he were to leave, they could find that elsewhere. They could find someone else to replace that. I don't necessarily fully agree on it. And to go back to your first follow-up question, which I thought was fine, D'Lo, the messaging is what doesn't make sense to me. If you're Scott Perry, you list out these six or seven kind of features or traits of who you want this Kings team to be and how you want to play. If Keon doesn't check all seven of them, I don't know who does. Doug Christie talks about the way he wants to play. It seems like Keon Ellis would be a perfect fit for Doug. And yet, I think there's just an understanding in Sacramento, or a belief amongst that organization, that Keon's a good player. We value Keon. He's an important piece of this team. but he is not as expendable as we believe him to be, and there are priorities higher up on the list than him right now. Or there were, during the offseason at least.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, I understand it. I understand it. I like Keon as much. We talked about it just a second. I like him as much as anybody on this roster. Like I love his demeanor. I love what he brings to the table. I said it a year ago, and I still feel this way. I think he has all defensive team capabilities with how he's able to guard. But I do believe, and I talk about this with the insiders a lot, I do believe you can find those type of players rather easily. It's almost like, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe Kyle Shanahan's wrong, but it's like Kyle Shanahan and offensive linemen. Like, I'm not spending the second overall pick on an offensive lineman because I can find somebody that can get the job done for cheaper and later in the draft. Like, that's kind of how I feel about wings, defensive-minded wings that are 3-and-D guys. I do believe you can find those guys all over the place. I don't know why the Kings
can't.
I don't know why they can't. I have no idea why they can't. We named 4 guys yesterday on the Oklahoma City Thunder who are second-round picks. Picks number 40, 46, 55, yeah. Undrafted, Lou Dort, guys like that. Like, they're all over the place. Dylan Cardwell, I'm not saying he's great. He's an undrafted guy. He was closing out the game for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can find guys like that all over the place. And that doesn't mean that you don't try to sign Keon Ellis or you don't try to bring him back. But I don't think you break the bank or do everything in the world to sign him or maybe even play him in certain situations.
Yeah, I want to clarify a couple things, kind of building off what Kenny said there. Number one is, it's not that the Sacramento Kings aren't interested in bringing Keon back. I think there is the hope and the belief that come February or March, whenever he's eligible to be extended, that they will get some sort of deal done. You know, the insiders were throwing out a number. Kyle Madsen threw out like $12 million a year, like a 4-year, $48 million deal. And he's just total ballparking there. I don't know if the Sacramento Kings would be willing to pay that much for Keon Ellis, or they feel they need to pay that much for Keon Ellis. Maybe they feel they could get him for $8 million a year. I have no idea. I'm not privy to any of those financial conversations. But I don't want anyone to misconstrue what I'm saying as the Sacramento Kings don't value Keon and don't want Keon here. Mm-hmm. They do. There are other priorities. Like, to them, getting Dennis Schroeder in this building for whatever money they needed to put on the table to get him here was way more of a priority than bringing Keon Ellis in or extending Keon. And that might send off alarm bells to Kings fans. And I don't necessarily blame you for it, but that was Scott Perry's approach to this team. The other thing I wanted to address, because I've seen it a number of times in the chatty house and on my comment section, whatever. Why don't you just trade him then? Why don't you just trade him? Because Keon Ellis makes $2 million. So what are you trading or what are you getting of value in return unless it's a draft pick, which I don't know how many teams are lining up to give you a first round pick that means anything
for
Keon Ellis right now.
Not for another player.
Yeah. Like so you'd have to attach another player or two to Keon to get a player of, we believe, Keon's value back in return, because those guys are like $15+ million players per year. Like, if Keon were made, that's why we heard so much about Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors wanting to get him on this value of a contract, so it's a better trade piece to go out and target a star if he were to become available to give Steph Curry one last run. Like, the money is what's important here. That doesn't mean that Keon doesn't have value. It's the money that is attached to Keon in a cap situation where every team is strapped for cash right now and doesn't have a lot of wiggle room because of the apron system. It's just hard to move Keon for any kind of value in return. You're certainly not going to salary dump him or just send him off for nothing or for scraps unless Keon shows up and tells you, I'm not re-signing, you better get rid of me, which may very well happen. I don't have any indication right now, and there's no reason to believe that will happen. I think we need to wait till February to make any sort of judgment on this entire situation. But if I'm Keon Ellis, I'm sitting there on the bench going, boy, I had a good game. I could have helped you get some stops there down the stretch. I could have won that game. And you decide to play Malik or Neek or whoever over me. All right, I'm paying attention to that.
Well, I think Keon is welcome to pay attention to that, but like Malik was playing well yesterday.
For sure.
And I think part of the dangers in evaluating games last night, like when you have a lead like that, when you're up 20 and obviously your offense has to disintegrate for a team to come back, there's always that hope, Malik, Levine, and DeMar was already playing well, that they're going to find it because they had it. They had it within this game. They had it during this time on the floor in this arena. You're hoping, oh, okay, that shot's dropping again like it was in the first half. Okay, Malik found that moment. He got it. Okay, he hit that one behind the arc. We're off and running again. All of those guys were playing at a level during that game where it's like, I understand why Doug stuck with them. If they were playing like trash and Doug stuck with them, yeah, if I'm Keon, I might feel a certain way. Neek was playing really, really well defensively. It's why the news today is just brutal. And then right. You have Dennis was playing well. Yeah. Right. I thought all of the guys that Kings fans disliked the most played really well last night.
I would agree with you. Oh, sorry. Go, Casey.
No, I was just going to say, even in the fourth quarter, they all picked it up and decided to play well. I'm sorry, real quick, 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. This is crazy. There is a commercial for Force right now.
That's great. That's great.
They're listening to us.
Tommy's coming back. Shout out to Stars.
But yeah, I thought those guys in the fourth quarter played really well. And that doesn't mean Keon couldn't have been out there and helped as well. But it was like, man, who are you taking off the court in that situation?
Yeah, I think if we're looking at like a play-by-play thing, and you can't really sub play-by-play, it doesn't really work that way. But like there were a number of times where it was very clear that Phoenix was attacking Malik. I thought Malik played some of the best defense he's ever played in his career last night, to be honest. I thought he was as active as we've seen in terms of playing in front of his man or staying in front of his man, but there were times where he stayed in front of him and they just went right through him, right? Like there were a number of moments, whether it was Gillespie or whoever was targeting and going after Malik in that fourth quarter. So maybe there's a situation there with, I know Malik's having a good game offensively and he is a creator for you in a time where games can get chaotic like they did down the stretch of that game. So I understand Doug's decision to stick with him. But hindsight's 20/20. Maybe that's a moment where, hey, things are unraveling a little bit. Keon, get in there and help us settle this down. Help us take away some of these buckets that they were converting on, which were very similar shots, by the way, to what they were getting in the first half. They just started falling because momentum is a silly thing in the game of basketball. That's just like that first half. I thought Zach LaVine, I've been telling you guys and telling people on the podcast and social media, like Zach has stood out to me defensively throughout the entire preseason. And he put the clamps on Devin Booker in the first quarter of that game. Like Devin was having a hard time getting through Zach LaVine. Like that doesn't mean Zach played a perfect defensive game, but I saw growth there. I thought DeMar DeRozan was playing some fantastic defense last night. So there's certainly things to take from that game and go, okay, bottle that up. And it makes us feel good. But you have to get the result too. When you're up 20, you didn't blow a 20-point lead to OKC in OKC. You blew a 20-point lead to a Phoenix Suns team that, I'm sorry, no disrespect, they are not a good basketball team. And you know what? Maybe the Kings just aren't either, because they let that game completely fall apart for a Suns team that, I mean, most of that run the Suns went on, Devin Booker was on the bench. Like that just can't happen.
And that's how it goes sometimes. Like you just you need a burst from your other guys, and you get it. I think one thing lost in this conversation is something we talked a lot about during the preseason. We talked about the way Malik started the game. Malik was the only bench player to score for a while.
Yeah.
I think Keon was the next guy to kind of get going, if I remember correctly. But when those substitutions started, it was Malik and it was no one else. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, again, I understand there's a handful of problems from last night that resulted in them losing to a bad Phoenix Suns team by four. A lack of production from that second unit has been a problem through the first four preseason games and now through that's not fair. Maybe not so much the Laker game, but it was certainly a problem last night. And while Malik was able to mask that for a little bit, Keon was able to contribute a little bit. At the end of the day, you know, you're depleted right now. I'm sorry, this is tired and played. If your number's called, you got to go. Mm-hmm. Like, and you've got to find a way to contribute. And the more that you don't, the more that second unit looks really, really bad. Just flat out bad.
I think this is one of the toughest aspects of Doug's job, too, because Doug, if anything, he's a fantastic communicator, and he does a phenomenal job of relating with you or relating with players. That's just who Doug has always been. And I think Doug is naturally going to run into mixed messaging issues because, and you guys were talking about this in the show earlier, he talks about defense. We needed to be better defensively, but you had so many guys out there that are known for offense. That's balancing the way this roster is constructed, which has always been a problem. And again, I'd say 85% of this roster is not Scott Perry's roster. It's what he inherited. Like his roster doesn't necessarily match his words. So you're going to get moments like that. You're also going to, I get what Doug's saying about defense, but when you fall down by 9 points in the fourth quarter, you need scorers out there to close that gap. Specifically, you need guys that are hitting threes, and Monk was hitting threes. Zach LaVine was hitting threes. I think Keon probably could have hit a few more threes than he did, but like that's why some of those offensive players were out there too. So this is going to be a battle and a balancing act of this is what my roster is versus how I want them to play. And Mike had a horrible time navigating that. And Doug is trying to do better with that. So we have to take the messaging, I think, with a bit of grace too from Doug.
Yeah, I agree. Tough loss last night. Rebound against this crazy juggernaut that is the Jazz.
Yeah.
Oh. Or as Casey would say, oh, brother.
I'm trying to spin it in a way that the Jazz got that out of their system and the Kings got that frustrating loss out of their system. So you regroup and you punch them in the mouth on Friday night in the Golden One Center. That's how I'm setting it up.
I certainly hope so.
That's how I'm selling it.
Speaking of Friday night, what you got going on? Because it's Kings home opener,
question.
Sac State, and high school football. Where is Matt George going to be at?
You know there's only one place Matt George is going to be at.
Okay.
I'm going to be at the Golden One Center for the home opener. That's my job. But we do have a great game of the week at ABC 10. I have a preview of that coming out today. We have undefeated Liberty Ranch taking on Rosemont, who has bounced back from a terrible season last year. They're 6-2 right now, so they're balling. Mm-hmm. So we have some great high school football action on that Friday night. But your boy will be in the Golden One Center. Kevin John will be out and about, Sac State doing their thing. Man, it's a sports renaissance in Sacramento, man. It's a great time to be in Sacramento. It
really is.
D'Lo and Casey can freelance at the Sac State game for ABC 10 if you'd like. Just let us know.
I am
keyword
stunned.
Not being free.
Damien, I am so stunned at your professionalism to stay true to your word and not see Russell Westbrook's debut in Sacramento. I'm like, I tip my cap to you because I would be like, hey, sorry.
No, it stinks. Like it's not my favorite thing that I've done, but I know I'll be there Sunday. I'll get to see
you're coming through for the Laker game.
Oh
right?
Yeah, I'll be there Sunday. I'll be around a lot this year. I'll get to see my guy play. But I mean,
are you gonna be there? Are you gonna do the same thing? I'm gonna be there for like the first quarter. Like
I'm not.
You're not doing. You're
I'm just going straight to Sac State because what's gonna happen is I wind up not leaving.
Yeah. Well, it'd only be another quarter.
Well, that is a good point. Oh, very funny. No, everybody's funny. Hey, FBI, why don't you investigate this guy? As a matter of fact, I hate it here. I'm leaving. We'll see you here tomorrow at 10 a.m. Big thanks to Matt George. Make sure you follow all his great work over at ABC 10 and, of course, his incredible Locked On Kings podcast.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.